You know, I'll never forget the last words our grandpa said to me. Are you still holding that damn ladder?
You're awful. You should be ashamed.
He is.
No, he's not.
He is ashamed. Did you finally figure out what you're doing?
I think I got it. Not real sure
we'll
how.
We'll find out when we go to export the video.
Kidding. And then you'll be pissed off if I didn't do
it
right.
Gotta redo it all again.
Josh and I have been sitting here for about 10 minutes. Look over. Kim peeks over the top of the computer. And she's just cussing away.
You guys
yeah,
still
no,
here?
Yeah, something, now
something's not right. What's not right? Can you see?
You better be getting my good angles.
Josh and I should be on the big screen.
Yeah, you're all blurry. I don't know why.
Well, that's weird. That shouldn't be right.
No, it's not right. I know it's not right, but I got to figure out why it's not right. Son of a gun. What did it go?
Someday, Josh, we're going to have a decent producer. What's wrong? Is it still blurry?
Hang on. I think it's because I got the wrong one up.
I'm okay with blurry. It hides the wrinkles.
Right.
My joke was wasted because we're going to have to cut all this out. Wasted.
Wasted.
What in the hell?
If you'd like an opportunity to produce one of our episodes, let us know at itsmysteryinc.com.
Are you going to have to get up and bring me the computer?
Yes, because I don't know why it's saying that. I don't know why what it's doing.
We're going to make it our goal by the time we go to Crime Con. Kim will know how to do her job.
I fixed it a while ago, Kim.
You are an asshole.
I'm just making you stand there.
What happened?
It just needed to be touched by a competent person.
Oh, shut up.
I just unconnected it and reconnected it. Normally, if you just
turn it off
and turn it back on. Turn it off, turn it back on.
Well, I don't know why it did it and I didn't like it. I told you, I can do all the audio. It's this stupid video that just really
screws me up. All you have to do for the audio is push a button.
Well, no kidding. See, that's why
I can
do
this
it.
all day long.
I can push this button all day.
Yeah, I'm going to have to leave some of the beginning of that in there just so people know what was going on when we finally
get my talking. Joke in there. Don't make sure.
I don't know about that.
I can't say it now because the reaction won't be authentic. It'll be forced.
Right.
It was a good one, though.
Is this the last time we're recording in this room?
Yes, it is.
Oh.
Memory.
We can start tearing this down after this one.
After this, we're going to go to a bunker.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We're going underground. The Mystery Inc. team is going underground.
I always knew I'd end up in a bunker.
Well, we got to because Josh has been waiting to hear this story, but yesterday I'm here working away by myself.
Oh, yeah.
And all of a sudden I get this weird text message.
Which we love in the true crime world. Just
yes,
random weird
absolutely
texts.
Terrible. So this weird text message says, hey, I'm waiting for you when you come. And I thought,
I think that was meant for me.
I was like, that seems weird. I have no idea whose number that is. And I'm not a person who deletes people's number. Like, even if I do not like that person and I block them, I keep the number.
I do the same thing.
Oh, yeah. I block them, but I keep a number. Like, I just don't delete numbers. So I was like, oh, this doesn't seem familiar. And I looked up the area code and it's a Nashville area code.
Ooh.
And we're going to Nashville for Crime Con. And so when they said, hey, I'm waiting for you when you come, I thought, oh, my God, that seems so weird. So then I thought, well, I'm going to bring this up to the Mystery Inc. team because I want to be vocal about this in case some crap goes down. Because maybe this is a person who only knows me by voice and they do not know how large of a person I am. They do not know the 6'9" man giant behind this mic. You know what I'm talking about?
So this is what happened last night. He sends me this text with a screenshot of that. And I'm like, oh, that's odd. And then the more I thought about it, the more I thought, yeah. And then he says, they're from Nashville. the area code, and I'm like, note to self, don't stand close to Shane when we go to CrimeCon.
I'm waiting for you.
And then, of course, somebody with anxiety, all of these horrible things start running through my head, and I'm like, why did he send me that? He knew what was going to happen.
Oh, you poor thing.
Did you not respond?
You're such a victim, Kim.
I know.
Huh?
Did you not respond?
No, I didn't respond. I don't want them to think that I got that message.
Oh, I would be like, who the hell is this?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you don't want them to think that you got the message. And here we are talking about it on a podcast that more than likely they may be listening to. That might be how they know we're going to be in Nashville.
I might not have thought it all the way. I don't want them to have the satisfaction of communication either. It's one thing to send me a weird message, but I'm not going to communicate with someone who's going to like send me a weird message like that.
So they already have the satisfaction of having rent in your head because you've thought about it. I've thought about it. And now they have the satisfaction of having both of our...
Let's think this through.
Okay, do it.
If their plan is to kidnap me...
Good luck.
First off, I have been to the Gaylord, which is where this event is, and CrimeCon is at the very back. They better bring a dolly, because I am not walking
a golf cart
from the event to the front.
To be like, kidnapped.
They're gonna...
Yeah, they better bring a snack... And they better bring a dolly.
Okay.
Because I am not walking.
I'm
going
to put this out here right now. If somebody is going to try to kidnap Shane, please let me know ahead of time because I want to video it.
Just take me
instead. You're just such a good friend, Kim.
Thanks.
You are such a good friend.
I love you. I'll do anything for you.
Especially if you're a decent looking man, just take me instead. You'll have a better time, I promise.
Well, and they better bring a big vehicle. Because I'm not fitting in those little bitty sedans.
A little Prius pulls up, yes. Hitting the bag.
Well, that's what I hate about flying, because like I get to a new place and I have to order an Uber.
Oh, yeah.
And anytime I try to order an Uber, if I don't order an XL, a little Prius almost always will show up.
Get in.
A little Toyota. And I'm always like, oh, God, here we go. Because this is like a rule. That if you order one of these vehicles, they want you to always buckle up. And look, I'm pro buckle, you know, buckle up all day long, do it. But hey, when you are a big person in a small car, that buckle ain't going nowhere.
Mm-hmm. It don't reach.
It's not reaching. So, and also, like my head, I mean, I'm not going nowhere in that back seat either.
You are
when snug. When I was in Germany, this little bitty car pulled up, and I don't know what kind of car it was. And, I mean, I'm telling you why, I barely squeezed in the back of it. I mean, he even pulled the front seat all the way up, tilted it all the way forward just for my knees to get in. And I'm like, you know, head tilted and everything, which, like, if you're listening to this, like, I'm, like, distorting myself, you know. So I'm, like, squeezed into this sucker. And then he had the audacity to look me in the rearview mirror. And he goes, I need you to buckle up, sir. I looked at him and I was like, oh, I would love to buckle up for you. And I like, this is what you have to do. Like, I'm sure that I'm the only fat person alive who has ever had to deal with this. But if you're in a small car and you have to try to force yourself to buckle up, you're going to be like breaking a few ribs. So you have to like thrust yourself into the corner. And then you have to like squeeze as much as you can. And then you're going to lock that seatbelt out in the furthest position you can. And then
you're going to die because you can't breathe.
Yeah. And then you're going to hope to God that there is a middle seat belt, because at least you can get a couple extra inches to the left if you can buckle it up in the second little thingy. But I finally got it into the middle seat belt thing. But the issue is that anytime you're in the car and the seat belt's not in the correct seat belt lock, you know?
Yeah.
The stupid thing is beeping.
The little alarm.
Yeah. So I kept like having to reassure him that I was buckled up.
I swear.
I'm like, hey, I'm buckled. It's just in the wrong hole. and he didn't speak very good English. You know, he spoke German. So he was just like, okay. You know, and I was just like, I swear I'm buckled. I'm not trying to pull one over on you. It's just, it's not going in the right one because this car's too small for me.
Boy, London's going to be fun with the two of you because they have very small cars in Europe.
One of the things I struggled in London was that the driver's seat is in the wrong side of the car.
Oh, on the opposite.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So anytime I would go to get into the front of a vehicle, because like, there's more room in the front, you know?
Yeah.
I'd always start to get in the driver's seat.
Oh. And what are you doing?
Yeah, so there's always the person in the driver's seat.
Excuse me, sir. Kind of freaked out.
Like I'm about to like steal a car. And they're like, like this huge man is trying to steal his car. Like,
no, hurt
I'm
me.
Like, oh, I'm so sorry. Misunderstanding. Yeah. No, it's every time. Like you just, it's a habit.
Right.
So every time I start to open up that door and you just see their eyes like I'm about to steal the car.
So a couple years ago, we went on a cruise and on the way.
Rich, yeah. Right?
I'm going to go back so bad. My brother and sister-in-law's on one right now and I'm like, oh, I don't like you right now. Anyway, so after we got off of the ship, we got an Uber to take us to the hotel that we were going to stay at for the night before we flew out of Miami back home. And the people that we were with a couple people. And so there was four of us. The car that comes to get us is not very big. And I'm looking at Shane and he's looking at me like, how are we all four going to fit into this car, right?
And our luggage.
Yeah. And our, which the luggage wasn't that big of a deal. We didn't have that much luggage and it did fit in the back. But so there was so little room in the back seat. And this was supposed to be an XL to hold all of us.
They lie.
They lied.
They false advertise.
Yeah. So Shane gets in. One of the other people that's with us scoots in and hovers till I could get in. And then they sit
on our hips, basically. Yeah,
they had one cheek on Shane's leg and one cheek on my leg.
Surprise the driver. I need y'all to buckle up.
Oh. We giggled all the way to the hotel. We laughed so hard.
That was the same time. It was the next morning that I got freaking stuck in the elevator.
I get this text message.
We're all going down to meet
in the lobby to get ready to go to the airport because they had a shuttle to the airport. And we're sitting down there waiting. And I get a text message. Hey, Kim. Can you go to the front desk and let them know that we're stuck in the elevator? And I'm like, what?
Because if you're in an elevator, at least in that one, my cell phone wouldn't call out. And the fire button, like, you know, how like you would call the fire people or whatever, it wouldn't work. It just wasn't working.
That's a necessity.
I know. So thankfully, Kim was there. So I could just text her to go to contact the front desk. So I mean, it was a terrifying situation. And also, it was one of those really small elevators. So I couldn't even sit down. And I was in there for so long having to stand up. And it was getting so hot because there's no air conditioner.
Yeah, it was.
In Miami.
In Miami, I was so upset in September. And it was still, it was warm out. No air conditioning in there. So I start taking pictures. They call 911. The fire department actually came. And they told Shane, as they were leaving, you guys need to really complain because we're here at least once a week for this.
Yeah. At one point, there was an employee or something that figured out like what floor I was stuck on, right? And I hear her through the wall say, everything okay in there? And I said, I could really use a chair. But like, you have to understand, it's really hot. It's kind of getting hard to breathe.
Right.
Because there's like little lights in there.
There's no airflow.
Yeah, right. Exactly. There's little lights in there. And I'm just, you have to stand because the elevator is so small. So I am like absolutely miserable. So I was just trying to make the best of a crappy situation.
I mean, not only are you
I could use a chair.
Yeah, not only are you uncomfortable because you can't sit down, your anxiety is starting to go up a little bit, you know, because you're stuck and what the crap's going to happen. And
oh, I was just terrified because we were like on the 8th floor, I think is where it was stuck. And so I was just terrified the whole thing was just going to drop all of a sudden.
Hell, I would have been naked. You mean firemen are coming here to rescue me? Oh, it's so hot. I gotta take my clothes off.
I didn't even look. I was so wrapped up in what was going on to make sure they got out of there. And I didn't even look. And they actually comped his room because of it. Mm-hmm. And he gave him a whole bunch of rewards.
Elevate. I mean, aren't they supposed to have those checked? Like, they quite do. Often? Yes.
And so after that happened, every elevator that we get into, we check to see when the last time it was inspected.
I do that.
A lot of them are expired.
Yeah, you know how many of those things are expired and they haven't redone it yet?
You call up the local fire department.
It's really because you don't really think about that unless you get stuck in an elevator. I never paid any attention to those things, but there are so many of them that are not up to date.
Right.
Hell no.
So I went to a doctor's appointment earlier this week. And as I pull up, I was getting ready to go into the building. And this guy starts coming out of the front door. And I don't know if you guys have ever seen this. This is actually the first time I've ever seen one of these. But he must have had like something wrong with his leg or ankle, like below his knee.
A little scooter.
Yeah, like a little scooter that you have to like put the lower half of your leg on.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, so
instead
they don't
of crutches.
Yeah, so they don't use crutches, yeah.
Oh. That'd be so nice. I hate crutches.
I know. I think about all the times you were on crutches.
Yeah.
And I mean, you were always a tall kid.
Because I was so tall, I had to have those stupid wooden ones.
And
you've been on crutches before?
Yes.
Multiple.
A long time ago.
He had a knee replacement.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah.
And we had to wrap towels and stuff around because they'd hurt your armpits.
Yeah. So anyway, so he had that little leg thingy. I don't know what they call it. A leg dolly.
A scooter. I don't know.
So leg scooter. So he starts coming out of that front door in that leg scooter. And something that I know about whenever I go to that doctor's office is whenever you have to go up to the door, it's uphill. It's like a very steep hill. And I thought, that thing has four wheels. He's going to start rolling. Well, and he's going to be rolling down that hill.
All he'd have to do is pull the other leg up and just coast on down.
No, it's really steep. And there's cars all right there. So I thought I should get out and go help him. You know, he's an older guy. I should get out and go help him. So I pull in and park, and then I turn on my rear camera so I can watch.
God, I love you. I love it.
I was like, I wonder if he's going to run into some cars.
You're such a horrible person.
Well, I didn't know him. You know, I didn't know how I could help. America. He had to have known.
You just wanted to make sure if he got hit that somebody would actually know and you could go find somebody.
Yeah, exactly.
He has proof for insurance purposes.
And I learned in that moment that it has brakes.
Oh, good.
Those little things have brakes. So he was braking on the way down, but it's such a steep decline that he was braking, but you could tell that he was really scared. So he was like,
don't fall.
Braking. And then he's like, oh, my gosh. I was cracking up in my car.
That's awful.
I know. I felt absolutely horrible.
We have a steep incline to the door of our office building. And it's like tile.
Mm-hmm. Who designed
that? When it rains,
that?
I know,
they
right?
They should be brought behind a barn.
And when it rains, so I'm scared to death that it's going to be so slick I can't get, you know?
Well, I think that's why they have that little bitty carpet to the left.
Yeah, that doesn't
so that you work. It's just a smallest, like, 4-inch wide carpet.
I mean, it's dumb that they don't just keep it right there. I don't know if maybe it just works itself over to the side or not.
Well, it's really pretty tile.
It is really pretty, but
I think it's, like, made to be indoor tile. Yeah, but, yeah, anytime there's snow outside.
Well, there's an adorable older woman who comes every week to get a roller set from the beauty shop. And I was raised right, so when I see an elderly woman coming to a door, I'm like, oh, I need to go get that door for her. And I did once when I first started working here, and I haven't ever since. Because she apparently needs the door to get up the incline.
Oh.
She'll like stay at the bottom and reach up for the door handle and then use it to pull herself up.
So,
I went and held the door open for her. She's like, talks real light. I can't get in without the door handle. Sorry.
So much for being a good Samaritan, huh?
Well, then I panicked, and I worked at a nursing home, so I was just, I'll help you. I grabbed her arm, pulled her in. That might have been
grabbed her by the shirt
real
collar.
Real aggressive.
Come on in, woman.
Get your hair curled.
Yeah, the one thing that I will not miss about this building is the one bathroom.
Oh, yeah. I know. I hear you.
We all have IBS and
sometimes. Kim has it horribly where she's got to go. So sometimes she'll go back to go to the bathroom and she'll come back and she'll say, Shane, where's the nearest bathroom? Where's the nearest public bathroom?
I can't wait.
I'll just be like, go out to the street and just turn right and keep going until you get to a building with the door open.
I've had to go home before. I'm like, I can't hold it.
Right.
I had pizza for lunch.
Yeah, we won't have that problem in the bunker. There's three bathrooms.
I know. I'm really excited.
In the bunker.
It's
going to be nice and quiet. Right. And the only thing, I'm going to miss a couple things from moving. Number one, we're not going to be right next door to a restaurant that we can go walk to lunch.
Yeah.
And I'll have to actually stop and get out and go in and get tea before I go to the bunker. Yeah.
Sure.
I'm going to miss all the daddies at the barber shop next door to us. I enjoy watching some of them, not all of them.
The people who look like they could be ex-convicts or they just got out of the military, one or the other.
Well, they go to the coin place. That's how I know. Right. I'll see a man come in and I'm like, ooh, he looks sketchy. He must be going to the coin place. I've learned working here. I'm like, oh, so the coin hobby is up to par with like pawn shops. Right. Where like only like criminal looking people really. Right. How much can I get from my grandpa's coins? Mm-hmm. I need my drug money.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No,
at least that's the impression I get.
Yeah. No, I agree. I do have a new little thing for us. For our new bunker. I'll show it to you. Hold on.
Oh.
Surprises. It's Velma.
It's little Velma.
I love it. It goes along with
our folks.
Now, where the hell's mine? I don't see Fred.
Oh, he did. Josh, you're just too extra, and we can't have another Fred around here.
Listen, extra is not a concept. You guys just... never are enough. Oh.
I know.
The truth hurts.
Whatever. It does.
Whatever. Isn't Velma so cute?
Velma is cute. My alter ego.
She smells better than you.
We need to get...
like burned plastic.
We tried
hey,
to...
Hey, you said I smelled really good this morning. I don't want to hear it.
No, Velma smells like burned plastic.
You always say Velma.
What is her name?
It's Velma.
Velma, oh.
Not Thelma. I swear, Josh, every time you say Thelma.
Have you never watched Scooby-Doo?
Yeah, but they don't spell her name on the damn show.
He always says Thelma.
We need to get new little card things for
Velma.
Velma with
me
with
on
a
it since we changed the logo.
Listen, we'll just chalk it up.
Gosh, dang it. You give a mouse a cookie, she wants to change
her
everything.
Her and the logo. I swear to God.
I ordered our first t-shirts with the new logo on them last night.
Wait for it. She's going to complain. Wait for it.
Oh, no. I wore
That's not like her, Josh. She's not a complainer.
I wore mine today because I wasn't going to. I was going to keep it looking nice and new for Crime Con. And and I thought, no,
I'm not. What's not on your t-shirt, Kim?
Yeah, me. I'm not on my t-shirt.
Just complaining. And that's
so I was going to keep it nice and clean. And then I thought, no, I'm going to get new ones before we go. This actually got me on it. So I'll just wear this one all I want.
I'll turn mine into my new nightshirt since it runs big.
Oh, yeah, it is.
F you, Joshua. It runs small. You must have just got the bad batch.
That cracked me out on the way home driving and laughing about that.
Now,
just
I will
picture.
Say that we got us, or you and I got tall sizes. Mm. Might be what you're talking about. But one time I was out of town. We were on a trip and this high school asked if I would come talk to some of the students. And so I was like, yeah, sure. So I... didn't have like appropriate attire to go talk to a bunch of class people. You know, I didn't have appropriate attire.
You were actually on a trip when they got in contact
Yeah. So I wanted to go grab some clothes or something. So I found a big and tall store. So the friend that I had with me, he wanted to find some nicer clothes too. So he is not tall, 5 foot nine, big. 5 foot eight.
Bless his heart. That's us in kindergarten.
I know. So I thought, oh, I mean, I'm sure they'll probably have something for you. We're in Georgia. So I thought they're going to have some shorts or something you can buy. I don't know. So anyway, so we go there and we didn't have much time. So that was the only store we had time to stop at. So he finds a pair of shorts, dress shorts in his size. And he's like, oh, I'm sure that I can just go ahead and do these on a tall, you know, maybe they're a little longer than my knee. That's fine. So we both go over to the dressing rooms and he gets one next to mine and he gets in there. And all of a sudden, all I hear is someone dying laughing.
Oh, God.
And I said, Joe Schmo.
You stop that in there. It's
yeah,
a public place.
Exactly. I was like, don't get me kicked out of here because that's the only place I can shop, you know, and that is illegal. I don't want to be put on a list. And he said, no, Shane. He goes, I'm telling you, these shorts go down to my ankles. He said, there's no way that people buy these. And I said, hold on a second, come out. So he comes out and I hold them up to me. And I was like, I absolutely hate you right now. Like, these would come down to my knee.
These are booty shorts.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that people just underestimate, like,
how long
some
were
of
they
the
on
tall
him?
Sizes. They were down to his ankle.
I was going to say they would definitely be pants on me. They would be way long on
oh,
me.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
No, I love going to the big and tall stores with you, especially the robes are my favorite. Because I'll get the biggest robe I can find there and try it on, and it, like, drapes behind you like a queen's cape. Oh, I love it.
One of the things about the big and tall store that I always think is funny is I think that they only hire really short people.
Yeah. Nobody that can actually buy anything there.
They can never reach the top shelf, so they always have these, like, really long, like, stick things.
The hook.
Yeah. And they also don't have tall people to help design anything. So, like, all of the dressing rooms, the top of the doors are always real short, so my head sticks out. So it's I always feel so weird, like, taking my pants off.
I need to make a...
And I always have my head sticking out, and then you have this little girl who works there, and she's like, everything fitting okay, sir? And I'm, like, sitting there trying to put pants on. I look down at her from inside the room. I'm like, yeah, everything's fine.
They bring you a shirt. They have to hold it over their head as they're walking over.
Yeah. And some of the stores are small, but they're real deep. So they'll put the dressing rooms in the very back. And it's really weird because, like, here I am taking my pants off, and I can also see all the way out, all the way out the store to everyone else shopping.
I hate when a fitting room has a little tiny door and you're sitting there with your head over the door. Yeah. Like, I'm not creeping.
Shoulders,
doors. I don't have to worry about that at all.
Privilege. Mm-hmm. Privilege.
That must be so nice.
You know what I hate? There used to be a couple women's size stores in town, and Lane Bryant. And Catherine's was the other one. That one was the one that I usually went to get my clothes. And there was another one too at one point. But one of them I went into because I was looking for something, and I know, you know, and I'm thinking, I think if it's a bigger store, they should hire bigger people to work in there instead of these little stick thin girls.
Right. No big gal wants to buy something from a little skinny.
No. And that's one of the reasons why I went to Catherine's, because they did usually hire fuller figured women, and a lot of them would wear the clothes that was in there. So it was nice seeing the clothes on other people, you know, and these real thin little girls that are in the women's size clothes, you're like, no,
I don't trust you.
I don't trust you.
Right. So I was doing some work on our website.
Did you add some more pictures of me?
Well, we'll talk about it.
Do you really want him to add pictures, Kim?
You have a good point.
If our listeners go to our website, the website is itsmysteryinc.com. If you scroll down, you're going to see a review section that we put our reviews on. So, like, if you leave a review on Apple Podcast or on Spotify, we're going to put those reviews on there along with the name that they leave, right? So I've been loading those in. And, of course, you know, I'm only putting 5 stars because my time is precious. Anyway, so...
I mean,
we don't play in the trash.
So, we don't play in the trash. We used to play in a graveyard,
but we don't play in the trash.
I thought everybody gave us 5 stars. Why wouldn't they?
Well, speaking of that, Kim... This person, which I'm guessing that they still listen, they just only listen to one episode and they haven't fallen in love with this yet. So I'm going to give them the benefit of a doubt, but I just wanted to read their review.
Oh boy.
So Mr. or Mrs. Wyatt 22, I hear you and I see you and you're still my friend. I still love you.
Dead to me.
But they gave us 2 stars. This is what the review was. And I laughed at it, so I wanted to share it. It was about 30 minutes in until they finally started telling a story.
33 minutes right now.
I know. I thought, well, they must have got in on a good one.
Right. <I'm kidding. laughs>
The rest was just them talking back and forth about nothing relevant. And, you know, I thought...
Homophobic.
They must have too many friends.
I guess.
And you know what I enjoy about us just talking, though? I got to thinking about this. I was like, you know, some people might not like that, but what I like about it is we don't see each other a lot. You know, Josh and I are brothers and we live in the same town, but we don't see each other a lot. But this is also a time for us just to all catch up about what we have going on. So it's enjoyable for us.
And if you don't like it, don't listen to it.
We really don't care if anyone else likes it, to be honest.
Well, most of the podcasts I listen to are just conversation podcasts. There's a couple like murder or whatever ones that I listen to, but the rest is just two or three people chatting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I just wanted to give Wyatt22 a little shout out.
Wyatt, hey, you're privileged because you're not lonely.
I actually seen that one the other day. I thought, yeah. I wonder if Shane's with.
I did see this review too as I was loading them up, and I don't remember if I gave them a shout out. So I wanted to give them a shout out because I liked it. Mr. or Mrs. Bug Duty, which was a cool name, I thought.
Bug Duty.
Bug Duty gave us 5 stars. They said, so funny. I love these three. They enjoy each other so much. It's like listening to friends.
See, that's so cute. They get us. They understand the way we are.
But isn't it just so funny how like it swings so hard?
Oh, yeah.
Like the Bug Duty gave us the one review, and then the very next review was they talk too much.
Yeah. It's either you love us or you hate us. There is no in between whatsoever.
It's not like, you know, it's okay. 3 stars.
And if you hate us, you're homophobic.
you're a tallophobe.
Right. Sizes, homophobic, you're trash.
You're a sizes. You just don't like Kim because of the way she looks.
Why does this have to be about me?
I don't know.
Everything is Kim.
Josh was gay. He did his gay thing. I'm tall. We got the tall thing and the weight thing. We have to pick something about
age.
You.
My age.
Intelligence.
You're an ageist. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a protected status, too, in the U.S. You cannot pick on someone because of their age.
I could get a senior citizen discount right now.
There you go.
Well,
get
some
that
10
cents off your coffee.
You're still allowed to run for president.
Right.
That's it. There you go.
Hey, that's going to be what I'm going to do.
Write your name on the ballot. I'll vote for you on the ballot.
Yeah, hey, I bet some of our listeners would vote for me.
Yeah, you might get a couple. Throw your vote away.
Please,
vote for Kim.
Please, please, for our wonderful Patreons, if you would vote for me if I ran for president, please let me know.
Yeah, please do. She can sometimes figure out a computer. president.
This morning it was real, or this time it was real rough because I was doing something I had never seen it do before. And I don't know.
She doesn't know where Cambodia is, but she'd be a great president. Speaking of website, I've done a couple other things. If you have your phones out.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah.
Go to our website. It's mysteryinc.com.
Oh,
Kim, you got to change glasses, Kim.
Get your trifocals already.
Got to change my glasses.
I need a trifocal so bad.
Go to,
I just don't want to do it.
Go to itsmysteryinc.com, and our friends listening will enjoy this too if they do this as well. And then go to the store, and that's all I need to tell you because you're going to see it.
Shop.
I haven't made it there.
Kim.
Whose bed is that?
Hang on.
I don't recognize it.
Kim, you are so slow, I swear. No one's going to vote for you for president. You can't figure out your phone. Josh, you want to read the description?
Kim's fabulous BVDs. And it is her actual true life.
That it is her real underwear that we've taken
that
from her panty drawer.
No, it is not.
It is too.
Those are her.
Oh my God.
Period panties.
You are too much. Do you see the description?
Kim's
oh my God.
Fabulous BVD. I didn't click on it. Introducing the Kim's Fabulous BVDs, now on sale for just $19.99. Crafted in a vibrant pink with elegant lace details, these large, luxurious panties are perfect for the woman who loves to live large and in charge. Inspired by the bold spirit of Hulaloo. Who the hell is that?
That was that girl who had the song back in the day.
Okay.
Remember we talked about it.
You ought to see me shake my BVDs. These BVDs are all about embracing your curves with confidence and flair. Once belonging to Kim herself, they promise not just unparalleled comfort, but also a touch of playful mischief. Grab your piece of the fun and let your BVD shake along with the evening breeze.
Do you see the second photo?
No refunds for odor.
Son of a gun. There's a second one.
There's a second photo. I don't know if you saw both photos.
We need to get one with a pen in them.
Did you see the second photo? There's a photo. There's two photos.
Swing low.
They're not so low.
Oh, God. They're
you knew
so
you'd
big.
Find another purpose for those, didn't
I
you?
I did. I did.
Mm-hmm. Too much, I swear. Yeah.
Help.
Did you put any better pictures of me?
Why would I do that?
You got to take one first. Right.
Lord.
Why would I do that?
Want.
Always needing, wanting. Why don't you put a better picture of yourself on the website?
I don't know nothing about that website. That's all you.
I don't know nothing about birth and no babies.
I actually made a post for Patreon today. I think that's the first time I've actually done a post.
No. Was everything spelled
correctly? No, I take
correctly?
That back. I hope so. Oh, you... that isn't the first
They'll
one
know.
I've done.
They'll know who did it. Well, you've done the Ouija board post.
Yeah. Yeah, I forgot I had done that one.
Yeah.
Ouija.
All right. Are we ready for a mystery?
Hang on a second. Grab this Kleenex box.
You let us know when you're ready, Kim.
Velma. See, that just don't Velma. Hold the tongue. Velma. Kim's leaking.
My eyes have drove me crazy today. They've done nothing but water all day long. Oh, I know why. I realized this morning on the way up here, I'd taken my medicine when I ate. When I filled my pill container up the last time, I forgot to put my allergy medicine in it.
I was about to say, seasonal allergies.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is, and I never even thought about it. So I haven't taken it in a few days.
Man, if I skip a day, I sound like Fran Drescher.
You start saying Thelma and not Velma?
Velma.
Velma.
I either sound like the nanny or Squidward if I don't take my allergy.
That's hilarious.
Ain't it great being allergic to the air?
It's been a long time since I've not taken it, so my allergies has gotten worse because I originally just started doing it because I'd get so many.
Did I tell you that I have an egg sensitivity?
No.
Yes. And do you know what I love for breakfast?
Eggs.
Eggs. I'm just so sensitive.
I did
to eggs.
To eggs.
We know you're so sensitive, Shane. You cry in your bed all night long.
You know what? I blame. I wasn't sensitive to eggs until I learned about Shane Waters UK.
No, did you?
That's the truth.
Your body's like, nope, can't have that anymore.
The chickens were like, you know what? We're just going to exit all the Shanes.
Oh, my gosh.
It's like a evolution thing.
Somebody had brought that up to me the other day.
Dead to me.
I don't remember who it was.
Wonder. All right. Are we ready for my mystery?
Yes.
Okay. So, our friend Maya was in from Norway once, and someday Maya's going to come visit us, and she's going to be on this show.
I miss her so
much. I just have a feeling, you know, she listens to us up in the north of Norway.
Hi,
someday,
Maya.
Yes, Maya, we love you. We miss you.
She spends a lot of time at her boyfriend's in the UK now. I wonder how close that would be.
Yeah, we'll have to find out. Maybe she'll join us and we can get her on. But anyway, okay. Yeah. So when Maya was in town, she had shared with me the story of the Isdal woman. And so I have always been fascinated by it because it's this mystery in Norway that's never been solved. And so I wanted to share that with our Mystery Inc. listeners in case you've never heard of it. Have you guys ever heard of it?
No.
Perfect. Well, you're going to hear about it today. So on the late morning on November 29th, 1970, there was a family. And this family consisted of two young girls who were with their father. And they all went on this hike, which... kill me now, I wouldn't do it. But they all went for this hike in Norway in a place called Ice Valley, but also some locals called it Death Valley. And I looked up to figure out like why people would call it Death Valley, and I found like two different accounts. One was there was a hiking party that died there because of a bad incident.
Ooh.
Like they got stuck there or something a long time ago. And then also, like, in medieval times, there was a bad accident or something, and there were people that had died out there. So people
what
call it Death Valley.
What a lovely place to go hike.
Nope. Yeah.
I'd like to I've go there.
I've never said that in my life. What a lovely place to go hike. But anyway, so this family, two young girls and their father, they go hiking out there, you know, and I don't know if you've ever been to Norway, but I've seen pictures that Maya shares, and it's a beautiful place. So I'm sure that if we were to go to this area of Norway, Josh, you'd probably be all out there on that little trail.
As long as it wasn't too cold.
Yeah. Right. So the area that I'm talking about is called the Istalen Valley, and I'm probably pronouncing that wrong, and Maya's going to get real mad at me that I don't remember
how to pronounce it. I can feel Maya's butthole clench, like, no, that's not it.
Along with all the Norwegians.
Oh, believe me, we'll hear about it.
Yeah. So it's probably like the Isdalen or Istalen Valley. So it's this valley that's in Bergen, Norway. And the interesting thing about Norwegian is that if you ever hear someone speak Norwegian, it sounds like a child making up a language.
Yeah, it doesn't sound.
It doesn't sound like a real language. So I would never be able to learn it. Like, good for them to be able to figure it out, but I could never do it. Like it's just
German and French. I can hear someone and kind of
in Spanish. Mimic. I can pick it up.
Yeah.
Norwegian.
It's all just all blending together.
Yeah. And they have like additional letters of the alphabet.
Yeah.
And they may have weird noises. I can't make those noises.
When she would call her mom when she was visiting, I'm like, the hell?
Right. You'd sit and while they were talking. While they were talking, you just sit and try to listen and think, what is she saying?
Yeah, you can't pick out any type of words from it. So although I would pronounce that city as Bergen, how they would pronounce it in English, if you were from Norway, is not going to be Bergen. I mean, it's just going to be some weird thing. But anyway, so this family, this two young girls and their father. Did I mention that there's two young girls and the father?
Who knows? That was 30 minutes ago when you said
I hate you, Josh. Okay. So they went off the normal path. There is a walkway path that you can go on. I know. So they went off the normal path. And, you know, they just wanted to see a more scenic route because it's nature. And everyone loves nature except Shane. He doesn't like nature.
I got all those genes.
Yeah.
That's not true.
So
you like to drive around in it anyway.
I've always said to people that when you die, get buried near the road.
People don't have to go walking.
Yeah, because I'll come visit you and pay my respects, but I'm not getting out of my car.
Right.
Yeah.
Air conditioning? Please.
Yeah, especially if you're buried in Georgia or something. But anyway, so as the family gets off the trail, they come across these large boulders that are out here. And while they're walking around and through these boulders, they stumble upon the remains of this woman who is just charred to death.
Ooh.
I mean, can you imagine being a dad and having your two young girls coming across a dead body like this? Yeah, I know. Like, how crazy. So they run back to town, call the police. Police come out there and start investigating. And they start realizing that this woman has been severely burned. And her remains are severely charred. And how she was burned, you could tell that it was made in a way to try to make it impossible to identify her, which made it just that much more of a crazy mystery. So scattered around her were also personal items, not just, I mean, I'm talking about, you know, around her right here immediately. But also there was like a campsite near her as well where there was personal items. So near her, there were clothing, umbrella. There were two plastic bottles that were melted. There was half a bottle of liquor. There was a plastic cover for a passport, but there was no passport in that. But also mysteriously, all of those labels have been removed. So, I mean, let's think about this. This woman was burned in a way to remove her identity. All of the labels of all of her belongings have been removed to also take away the ability to identify who those belongings would have belonged to.
Or to start the fire.
The labels?
Her paper labels.
Josh! Who's taking a label off of a shirt to burn a fire?
Oh, I thought you were talking about like a can label. You know,
No.
That's what I thought.
I'm like, who's cut a label off a shirt to start a fire?
I was thinking of like a paper can label or something.
That's what I was thinking of too.
So nearby, they find a campfire. And they also discover some empty bottles, a plastic melted bottle that smelled like gasoline. And later, the police would acknowledge that gasoline was used on her. So they could tell that she had been purposely set on fire. So it's not like this woman just spontaneously combusted.
Right.
As we've discussed before, like she was purposely set on fire. And they also discovered a handful of sleeping pills around. Most hauntingly, though, the woman was posed with her arms clenched in front of her as if she was shielding herself from the flames. And they called her stance a boxer's position with her hands out in front of her. And I did find a picture of her that they took when they were out there. We'll post it on Patreon. It's not real graphic. But it's also black and white, so I think that's probably why it doesn't look graphic. But you can see that her hands are like suspended also, but it's like in a boxing type of fashion. But I also learned that in a lot of burn victims who have been burnt alive, it's common for them to have that stance.
Right.
Because it's just like a defensive mechanism. Yeah. So also nearby, they find a watch and jewelry, but those were just placed next to her. And also in the photo, you'll see the rocks that she's on. It's like there's like a crevices in the rock, and she's like laying on the crevices. So it's like at a 45-degree angle.
Hmm.
And so she's like laying between these rocks. So I found a picture. I mean, I'm telling you, I went into a hole on this.
American Criminal is a new true crime podcast from the studio behind American Scandal and American History Tellers. Every week, you'll fall deeper into the riveting stories of the country's most clever, craven, and cruel criminals. Fraud, theft, murder, and worse. Whatever the case, whoever the criminal, you don't know the whole story until now. The debut season tackles one of the most sensational cases of the 20th century, the Menendez murders. In 1989, young Lyle and Eric Menendez brutally shot their own parents. Prosecutors and the press said it was a multi-million dollar inheritance that led two greedy rich kids to murder. But the picture-perfect facade this Hollywood family built hid troubling abuse. Could these teenagers have been driven to kill? Or was it even in self-defense? Listen now. Go to AmericanCriminal.com or search for and follow American Criminal wherever you get your podcasts.
So I found a picture of the crime scene, and I also found a picture of what it looks like today at that scene. And where she is found, there's a tree growing out of that very spot, oddly enough.
That's weird.
I know. So
I wonder if somebody put it there in her memory or something.
I don't know. Well,
No one knows who she was.
Right. If they did, you'd think that they would have put like a little plaque or something.
Yeah.
But maybe. So the people who were there, like the detectives and stuff who went out there to retrieve her body, they all started to say that when they saw how her body was positioned and burned and how her items were displayed and like placed around, it was almost like it was a ceremony or something. It was just a very bizarre scene that none of them had ever experienced before, but they all felt it was very odd. Like it just didn't make sense. Like if this woman would have committed suicide, none of the evidence made sense for that, but it also kind of didn't make sense that someone would have killed her and then also like laid her belongings around.
Right.
Like it was just a very odd scene. So that was also a note that I had picked up that I thought was really interesting. And of course, after they made this discovery, it sent shockwaves through that community and, I mean, all of Norway, because like stuff like this doesn't really happen in Norway. Yeah.
Often.
So it initiated this big investigation that would span continents and decades. And they would start to refer to her as the Isdal woman. And so that's how she would be known. And because of the mystery, you know, this was a huge mystery for not only them, but for every continent that would be involved. But you also have to remember that this was during the Cold War. So that also leads into this mystery as well that I will get into in a minute. But her life was a mystery and her death was a mystery. So it all posed questions that no one seemed to be able to answer. And even today, no one has the answers.
I'm looking up the body.
Oh, yeah. Well, if you look on Trello on today's Mystery Inc. episode, I have all the pictures if you want to look through them. You can too, Kim, if you want.
Good, because that's what I was doing.
I have even the evidence too. So from the very beginning, Norwegian police knew that this wasn't an ordinary incident. Someone had specifically removed every identifying marker from all of this woman's belongings. And so this suggested that it was a deliberate effort that someone had made to obscure her identity. Not only was she burned to this point, but also everything on her clothing and everything else was removed. So the first step that the police took was they wanted to do an autopsy. And the autopsy revealed a number of perplexing details. First off, the cause of death they determined was a combination of carbon monoxide poisoning and an ingestion of sleeping pills. So get this. She consumed over 50 to 70 sleeping pills before her death.
Dear Lord.
Yeah, I mean, crazy amount. I don't even know how someone could take that many without vomiting.
0.5 milligrams of melatonin all it takes for me. Yeah. Good Lord.
So many of them had not even yet absorbed into her bloodstream, which indicated that she likely was alive when the fire started. And also the carbon monoxide poisoning would make them believe that as well.
She was breathing it in.
Yeah. Also, the way that she was in that stance would make them also believe that she was alive when she was on fire. Also, they found soot in her lungs, which also confirmed that she had been breathing those flames in as the fire engulfed her. So what's weird to me is that all this evidence to them suggested a suicide. However,
that's what I was just thinking.
However, it was made a little complicated by other elements at the scene and in future scenes that they end up finding that kind of hinted a little bit more toward foul play. They did find also, I was on a deep hole for this for many hours. I did find that they found a bruise on her neck, and that bruise made them believe that she might have had a bad fall or a hard blow to the neck. So I thought that was very interesting as well.
I find it fascinating they can find a bruise on charred, burned flesh.
Oh, yeah.
Like, how'd you even know?
Right. A big breakthrough came when the police discovered two suitcases at the Bergen Railroad Station. Now, they believed that these suitcases belonged to this woman. Inside one of them, they found an array of items. They found clothing. They found a bunch of wigs, a comb, hairbrush, cosmetics. They found eczema cream. They found teaspoons. And they found currency. And the currency, I had to dig a lot for this, the currency all came from Germany, Norway, Belgium, England, and Sweden. So from five different places.
She was a spy who got discovered.
So that is a big theory that a lot of people started believing because of all of this. So they also find prescription-free glasses and locate a fingerprint on one of the lenses that matched this woman. So that told them this stuff belonged to her definitely. Mm-hmm. So most intriguing were the carefully scrubbed off labels off of all the clothing and all of the items. And her name had also been scratched off of the eczema cream tube. So, I mean, like, whoever is scratching all this stuff off, I mean, they're going to a far distance to make sure that no one can track this to who this stuff belongs to.
They were definitely at the scene for a long time.
Yeah. And they also find some cryptic notations written on a piece of paper in one of the suitcases. And for a while, they couldn't figure out what this stuff was, like, what the piece of paper was, like, what these notes were. Finally, they were able to find someone who could decipher them. And they appeared to be a record of the woman's travels across Europe, with each letter corresponding to a date and a location. And the cipher provided a rough itinerary of her movements, but it offered no insights into their purpose. Her travels had taken her across several European countries, and it painted the picture of a woman on the run or a woman on a mission. Her true objectives remain as elusive as her identity. So, I just think it's crazy that each time they find a new clue, I mean, can you imagine being those detectives like, oh my gosh, we find these suitcases. This is going to tell us so much information. We got a fingerprint. This is going to lead to her identity. And then all the labels are scratched off.
Now we got more like, questions.
Oh, she has all this currency. She has all these wigs. She has fake glasses. She has fake identities. What is going on here? Like every time they find new evidence, it just leads to more questions.
It's weird.
Yeah. Well, it gets a little weirder.
Oh, boy.
I know. I mean, I'm telling you. So then eyewitnesses come forward. And those eyewitnesses help them tell the story of this woman on her last days. So she was last seen in several hotels in Bergen. And in those hotels, she had registered under different names in each hotel and under different nationalities. I mean, it gets crazier and crazier. The hotel staff and guests all reported that she had like peculiar behavior. Like she was very, I guess I don't know how I would describe it.
Sketch.
Sketch. No, she wasn't sketchy. She kept to herself, but she was very vigilant. She was very independent. And someone described her as very stylish. They said that they loved the way that she styled herself. So they remember seeing her styled in something. They're like, oh my gosh, I would love to like start wearing stuff like that. Like
that's just very,
yeah. Yes. Yeah. But something that they did notice, the hotel people, is that she often wanted to change her room number. If she was at a hotel for more than a day, she wanted to change rooms. How bizarre can you be?
She had OCD.
Something. So she often would only stay at a hotel for a couple days, and then she'd move like across the country or to a different country. But if she was at the same hotel, she would change rooms if she was there for more than a day. It was, I mean, just so bizarre. Now, those eyewitnesses also said that they witnessed her speaking several languages, including French, German, and English. And she had a hint of an accent, but none of them could really place that accent. And you also have to wonder, was the accent real? Like, you know, because like if she's going through all this trouble to protect her identity, why wouldn't she throw off her accent? One witness did report that she overheard the woman arguing in a foreign language on the phone. No one knows what she was arguing about. Maybe she was arguing with the bank. Who knows? Norway police did ask for help from international law enforcement agencies because they recognize that this woman's doing a lot of international travel and she's likely not from Norway. So they wanted international help. So they sent out sketches of what this woman looked like along with her dental records. But no one could identify her. So no one knew who this woman was or where she came from.
So she wasn't burnt enough that they couldn't figure out what she actually looked like.
Correct. They were able to make reconstructions, but she was, I mean, she was burnt to a charred crisp. Yeah. But, I mean, you also have to realize that decomposed bodies from back then, still they can make reconstruction.
Right.
Yeah. So one of the strongest theories that came up was that many people questioned if she was involved in espionage. Now, the Cold War was at its height during this time, and a lot of people don't realize this, but Norway was a hotbed of spy activity because of its location. This woman's use of multiple identities and her secretive movements across Europe and how she would not stay in the same hotel for more than 2 days, and if she did, she would be changing rooms. And she always used fake names, and she'd be changing her identity. Like, it was just so crazy. And along with that cryptic code with her belongings, it all suggested that she could have been a spy, possibly caught up on a mission that went awry. Her extensive travel and her manner of death, a lot of people thought was potentially staged to look like a suicide. And it all leads to this idea that possibly she was eliminated after being compromised, or that she took her own life to avoid capture. Who knows? Mm. Now, I did find that they ruled the case a suicide, that she had killed herself. But in 2016, some journalists had done some work, and they finally got the case to be reopened, to be reexamined. And so they decided to do some DNA testing to see if they could identify her. And although they couldn't identify her, I did find some details that helps solve a little bit of the mystery of what this woman looked like. And I wanted to share that just so we can help our visual listeners know what this woman looked like. So they believe that she was 5'4" and between 25 and 40 with long brownish black hair. She had a small round face with brown eyes. And at the time of her death, she wore her hair in a ponytail tied with a blue and white print ribbon. In the DNA profile that they had done, it came back and said that she was of European descent and she had originated from Germany or France. And in the Unmasked episode, I'm going to give a lot more details of some other things that I found.
Did
that will be a lot more interesting.
Did they say if she had any prior injuries, like she had had a broken arm at one point or a broken leg or any type of injuries from the past? Because I'm kind of wondering if it wasn't like maybe a domestic dispute and she was running from her ex or something to that effect.
Nope. None of that was shared. I never read any reports that, you know, that she had a previous injury of some kind. You know, they did release her dental records and all of those things. And they also said the dental work that she had, it was not dental work that would have been done in Norway.
Hmm. Are you thinking like that movie with J-Lo? I think it's called Hurt or something, where she escapes her abusive rich husband and has to come up with a fake.
I have never seen that. But yeah, I mean, and this is coming because I just read a book about domestic violence. Okay. It's what made me think of it.
But you have to think, though, like, how much money would it take for you to do all that traveling? And, like,
I mean, they could have been rich.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm saying. You would need a significant amount of money to do that traveling. But also, and to stay at all those hotels and do international travels. But the extent that she had gone through to remove all of those labels, like, that's extensive. I think the weird part to me is, if she would have killed herself out there, why would she bring her personal belongings and also scrape off all of those things, knowing that they would all be found with her?
Right.
Why wouldn't you discard all of that so you know that they're not ever going to be found?
Right. Mm-hmm. Throw the suitcase in the ocean.
Yeah. Throw it in the trash at a hotel that's going to be discarded.
Right. Dumpster. Yeah.
Like, why would you bring all that stuff out there with you if your intention was to kill yourself, but you have already scraped all of that stuff off of it? That's what's weird to me. That's what makes me think that she didn't intend to kill herself out there.
I don't think she did. I think she was running for something.
Like, how, like, I think I said 40 to 70 sleeping pills.
Yeah.
That's a lot of sleeping pills.
It's a meal. Like,
yeah. And, I mean, you also have to think that you're setting yourself on fire. How are you setting yourself on fire if you're asleep?
Right.
It's not like they saw a mechanism there that could have poured itself on her.
Yeah, she's outside. I mean.
Yeah. So none of that was.
Pulleys and levers.
Yeah. None of that was talked about. So why would you take all those sleeping pills and then also burn yourself to death?
Right.
That beats the purpose of the sleeping pills. Why wouldn't you just take the sleeping pills?
Right. And those are two, like, very opposite ways to kill yourself. I mean, if you're going to take sleeping pills, you're like, oh, I want an easy way out. But if that don't work, I'll light my ass on fire.
And right. Yeah. And I think the only defense that someone might have is that the fire was a way for her, if she commits suicide, to help obscure her identity. Maybe. But then again, I still say, why would she bring all of those personal belongings out there?
And that she didn't, there wasn't right. a tent or anything like that to where it looked like she had been camping or.
Yeah.
If you're going to go on a trip to kill yourself, I doubt you'll care to pack your eczema cream.
Yeah.
Like, well, who cares? I don't need this.
And why leave it at the train station? Yeah. I mean, it's just all, doesn't make sense
so
to me.
So weird.
The wigs yeah. are what made me think spy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, the fact that she's always changing her identity,
yeah.
that just makes me think that she is working for an organization of some kind.
Either a spy or she's running from domestic violence or somebody just, she knew somebody wanted to kill her.
I don't think domestic violence would be the answer to this. Like that is such an extreme for me to think that that's domestic violence, unless the domestic violence is someone who is really powerful. Like, you know,
a world leader.
Yeah. Or someone who's a head of a big organization mm-hmm. of some kind. I mean, because just the extent
right.
that they're going through. But we're going to talk more about theories and some other evidence that I've dug up. Awesome. In the Unmasked. Mm. Yes.
Very interesting.
Yeah. That one's got me intrigued.
Yes. We ever go visit Maya, we can.
We're going to stop at Bergen.
Go and hop at Bergen.
Yeah. Have a burger.
Have a in burger Bergen. At Bergen.
Mm-hmm.
Flame broiled too soon. Listen, my humor is dark. I do like well my done. Clothes.
Right.
Oh, heavens.
All right, Josh, give it to us.
Well, this mysterious cryptid is said to be tall, dark, and irresistibly drawn to streetlights. So turn off your bug zappers and join me on this thrilling quest to unmask Mothman.
Ooh.
The Mothman is said to be tall with a wingspan of 10 to 15 feet, glowing red eyes, and the ability to fly at high speeds. Its appearance is often associated with impending disasters or tragic events. And it all started in November of 1966 with strange, unexplainable lights illuminating the night sky. As if that wasn't enough, mysterious figures dressed in black began to appear, lurking in the shadows. But the most chilling encounter was with the flying red-eyed creature that the locals dubbed Mothman. And its haunting presence sent shockwaves throughout the community. So back in 1966, two young couples from Point Pleasant, West Virginia, Roger and Linda Scarberry and Steve and Mary Mallett, told the cops that they saw this huge black creature on the side of the road. Its eyes were glowing red, and this all went down near the TNT area, which used to be a munitions plant during World War II. According to Linda Scarsberry's account, the mysterious being appeared to be a tall, sinewy figure, measuring around 7 feet. Its most striking feature, however, was the pair of large wings that sprouted from its back. She also reported feeling entranced by the creature's piercing gaze, which made it difficult for her to make out its face. After seeing the creature, the two couples hit the gas and zoomed away, but that didn't stop it. The Mothman chased after them and made some terrifying screeching noises, like he had a burr in his saddle. Southern phrase of the day for you, Kim. Following the local newspaper's report, several individuals came forward claiming to have witnessed the creature in the days that followed. The descriptions provided by the two volunteer firefighters were vivid. They reported seeing a large bird with red eyes. However, the sheriff of Mason County, George Johnson, thought that the sightings may have been due to an unusually large heron, which he called a shitpoke. That's what it sounds like. Ain't being dirty.
I'm not making it up.
A shit poke. That sounds derogatory and homophobic.
Sounds like a grinder status.
A bad one. I will stomp that slop.
Right.
Then this guy, Newell Partridge, said to Johnson that he saw this creature in a field nearby, and when he shone his flashlight on it, the creature's eyes were glowing like those reflectors on a bicycle. And get this. He also said that his German Shepherd went missing and his TV was making some weird buzzing noises, and all due to that creature. Robert Smith, an animal researcher at West Virginia University, explained that the bird people spotted was most likely a sandhill crane. These birds are quite large, almost as tall as a human, and have reddish rings under their eyes. Since they are not typically found in the area, people were unsure of its identity at first. Which, they might be tall, but 7 feet tall. I feel like even in the dark, you'd be able to tell, oh, that's a skinny little crane, or that's a big giant creature. I also think it wasn't a crane because birds, except for owls, can't see very well at night. Their vision is reflected on however much light's in their surroundings. But they can't see light before humans. That's why roosters crow so early in the morning.
Mm. The ones down by my house crow all day freaking long.
I hate roosters. On December 15th, 1967, another event happened near where the Mothman was spotted at the Silver Bridge when it collapsed, leading to the unfortunate demise of 46 people. The incident became a significant turning point in the legend of Mothman, as it is believed that the creature's sightings were connected to the bridge's collapse. West Virginia isn't the only place Mothman has been spotted, though. There is an article in the Svobodna Gruzia newspaper, I can't believe I got that out the first try, that talks about, someone said Russian, like you did not get that out on that. And it talks about Russian ufologists who believe that the sightings of Mothman in Moscow in the late 90s could have been warning signs of the tragic 1999 Russian apartment bombings. These ufologists think that the Mothman is a creature that has been linked to many major disasters in the past, and its appearance in Moscow couldn't have been a mere coincidence. Some people don't buy that theory, but the ufologists are firm that the Mothman is a powerful symbol of doom, and we should take notice of its appearance. Multiple groups of ufologists, which I did not know was a real thing, paranormal authors, and cryptozoologists have a belief that Mothman may not have been just an ordinary creature. Some think he could have been an alien or perhaps some supernatural entity that is yet to be discovered. In 1975, a man named Keel wrote a book about the events that occurred in Point Pleasant. According to him, the residents of Point Pleasant had abilities that allowed them to see things before they happened. They had premonitions about the Silver Bridge collapsing, UFO sightings, and encounters with strange, ominous men dressed in black. Overall, the accounts of Mothman and the events surrounding him continue to intrigue people. And today, if you visit Point Pleasant, West Virginia, around the autumn equinox, the third week of September, you can attend Mothman Fest.
Oh, that sounds fun.
Ooh, we should put that on our calendar for next year.
I think we'll be in London.
Next year.
Yeah. According to the event's organizer, Jeff Walmsley, the festival welcomes around 10,000 to 12,000 attendees annually. Mm. So it's a big festival.
Yeah.
In 2003, a 12-foot metallic Mothman statue was even unveiled in the town, created by artist and sculptor Bob Roach.
I think I've seen that. Okay. I think I've seen pictures of that.
The statue has since become an iconic symbol of the festival and as a popular destination for visitors. Yeah, if I ever go to West Virginia, I'm definitely. That would sounds very fun. In addition to the statue, the Mothman Museum and Research Center opened its doors in 2005. The museum is dedicated to preserving the history and lore of Mothman, and it features exhibits on the creature's sightings, different artwork, and other memorabilia related to the legend. And visitors can also attend lectures and other events related to Mothman. Throughout the decades, Mothman has also been used in multiple shows, movies, and even a Batman comic. My best friend even has a crocheted Mothman that she made herself because he is her favorite cryptid and part of the reason why I chose it. And join us on Unmasked, where I will be uncovering the mystery behind Mothman sightings and the balls of light observed around our own stomping grounds, as well as what connects them all together.
Sweet.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Speaking of crochet, a friend of mine found out that she had kind of the same cancer that I had, and only they didn't catch hers as fast as they did mine, and so she's doing chemo. She sent our group a picture last night that she's starting to lose her hair. So I made her a chemo cap.
Oh, that's cute.
I'm crocheting her a chemo cap to send to her.
Nice. I will say for my rotten videos, I, don't judge me, ordered some wigs on Temu. And they were decent quality, like less than $20. Like all the ones in my videos that you've seen, all those wigs were less than $20.
Oh, nice.
So if she wants affordable wigs to wear, if she loses more of her hair,
I think she's actually going to just shave it this weekend. She said she wasn't going to do the wig thing.
They're so hot. That's, I feel like, shave it, girl, and get you some cute scarves.
Yeah. Well, she says, I had such an odd-shaped head, and I haven't told her that I'm doing it, but it should be done tonight. It doesn't take very long to do.
Oh, I was like, you're shaving your head, too? No. Don't do it, Kim.
You don't look good with hair, Kim. I can't imagine what you look like without hair.
Well, when you finish that, don't forget, crochet me a nice G-string.
There you go.
Small. I have something else in the works right now.
A keenie.
We'll probably let the cat out of the bag when... I think we're going to do that when we go to Texas, aren't we?
I plan to let my cat out of the bag when you guys go to Texas.
Oh, I bet you are.
She's mangy.
Mangy. Bless her heart.
You're ridiculous. I know. Ridiculous.
It's funny because it's true.
Down, Blanche. Down, Blanche.
Get.
Will anybody have anything else before I do my little bless your heart?
Ahead. Go for it.
Well, a heartwarming story from South Bend, Indiana, involves a construction worker named Jason Haney who wanted to brighten up the Day of Children at the Memorial Children's Hospital. Haney and his daughter began hiding an 8-foot cutout of Where's Waldo at the building he's working on so that the children in the hospital can find it every day. And after they find it, Haney moves the cutout to a new spot, and the search continues. And to make it even more fun, he has even created a Facebook group for the children to share their finds. And Haney and his daughter are now planning to work on cutout minions for their next project to bring more happiness to the children's lives.
Oh, sweet.
To Jason Haney, his daughter, and all the children at the hospital, I give you all a big bless your heart.
And no kidding.
I chose that story because it's something so simple. You know, it doesn't take up a lot of his time, and it just means everything in the world to those children in the hospital.
They're going through enough.
Bless all your hearts, and thank you, Jason, for your kindness.
I want to play.
I know. Like, that's a great idea.
Kim used to play that game with her ex-husband.
Where's he at?
Where's Waldo?
Where's this mofo at?
Where's Waldo?
I've heard of, I think in Indianapolis, there's a children's hospital and construction workers or cleaner crew or some people would dress up as like superheroes.
Yeah, that is in Indianapolis.
I saw this the other day and I'm like, that is just too cute. All these little kids.
Yeah.
Oh, there he is. Because I chose it too because I loved Where's Waldo growing up.
Right.
Till I couldn't find him and pissed me off. You remember those I Spy books when you were younger? I love those.
Yeah,
the girls loved them too.
You could ever get them at the library because they were always checked out.
I know. Those and the movies that we always used to rent. What were those movies? The ones with Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen, the mystery ones?
Oh, yeah.
Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen.
I can't remember.
No, they were
detective.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about. The girls had some.
Mm-hmm. What are those called?
It's been too long.
Oh, my gosh.
I posted it on our Facebook page.
We'll
a few
solve any
ago.
Crime by dinner time.
I used to love Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen.
I know, me too.
I think it was one of those where
Olson and Olson Mystery Agency.
Yes.
Yeah. I might
and now
even,
look at us.
That's funny. That's funny. You knew back then.
So cute.
I might even still have one of the VHSs.
We got to find us a player.
Right?
I'll have to look and see if I still have that. I might have got rid of it. I'll
see if there's any episodes on YouTube.
There you go.
Well, we are grateful to express our appreciation to our devoted and exceptional patrons. We hope all listeners continue to enjoy our podcast and stay tuned for more exciting upcoming episodes. Don't forget to follow Mystery Inc. on Instagram or join us on Patreon to hear our bonus episodes of Unmasked that we do right after Kim and I go potty. Although I think I'm good today.
Oh, no, I gotta go.
Please find us on both platforms under at It's Mystery Inc. And you can also join us on Facebook at Shane and Josh's Rabbit Hole so we can interact more with all of you there. Surprised Kim hasn't requested us to add her name on there. I just
Kim,
thought of that.
Josh and Shane's Rabbit Hole. It'd be the longest Facebook group's name.
It's not just for this podcast. That's why I don't say anything about it. It's also for Rotten. It's also for Foul Play and Hometown History. So
you have your fingers in mini pies, Kim.
Next week, she's going to be down our throats about the Facebook group, I have a feeling.
However, I did notice last night when I got on YouTube.
Here we go.
Since you brought it up.
Here we go.
I got on YouTube last night to see how many
people. Please tell us. I'd love to hear.
That you have mentioned.
If you would shut up, I would tell you. I got on YouTube last night to see how many. to see how many subscribers we have. We have 105 subscribers right now. Yeah, nice. We're over 100. However, I did notice that our logo is still the old logo.
Why don't you change that?
I don't know how to do that.
Well, if you are a decent producer. Quit complaining. If you don't know how to do it, quit complaining.
105 people. Goodness. I should have wore concealer
today. You updated Patreon and with that lovely picture of me.
I'd hate to put that.
You know he ain't going to use a good one, no, Kim. You know him.
God. You better quit.
You quit asking for pictures. You know.
We're going to Texas. You better watch it.
And I'm
going
to have my Keeney.
I know. He's going to hang those BBDs on the back of his mystery with Kim.
You better remember, I got a camera in my glasses now. I'm going to get you coming out of the bathroom.
My God.
Get you coming out of the pool.
God only knows what's going to happen. I'm going to tell our Patreons right now, which it'll be long. This won't come out until long after we've been there, but I'm sorry. I just know something's
not going
to. Apologize
in advance.
Yeah.
I'm just going to start a line on Patreon called Shane's Candid Camera. It's going to be random pictures of Cam doing random things.
Just write on that big pair of underwear. If these turn you on, give Kim a call. Here's her Facebook.
Right.
Yeah,
and we invite you to check out our website. It's mysteryinc.com. On our website, you can find a wide selection of episodes. You can also browse through our photo gallery and get a glimpse of who we are and what we do. And now of Kim's underwear.
And you can buy Kim's BVDs.
Her big old panties.
You can buy
I am
going to
laugh so hard if somebody actually buys those. Oh, no. I am going to laugh so hard. If somebody buys them, I'll sign them. Yes. I'll sign them. I should take them to the shirt lady and have her put our logo on them.
You should.
And we are not responsible for how they smell. An old can of tuna. I'm just warning you.
Oh, my God.
Decomposing tuna.
Oh, God.
Been in the desert for days.
You two are so mean to me. I don't know why I put up with you.
She says that she's laughing.
Someone making bread. Smells like sourdough. And don't forget, you can go on our website, too, to buy any of our merchandise, our shirts, or My Little Dicks, or Amazonite necklaces.
I was going to ask you, Josh, what size is your little dicks?
They are about an inch.
Now, is that man math, or is that normal
no,
math?
No, I do normal math, because I have nothing to hide.
Yeah.
I don't need to.
But man math, that's probably 3 inches. If a man's measuring it, I'm sure.
Yeah, okay. At least.
Mm-hmm. Like five.
Yeah,
or seven
yeah.
Of them.
So men, you can get a 5-inch.
And women, it's just an inch.
It's just an inch.
Just enough. That's all you need.
Just an inch.
Oh, my God.
And additionally, if you have any ideas for mysteries or positive news that you would like to share with us, we would love to hear from you. And thank you all for joining us today, and bless your heart.
There you go. All right, we're going to have fun on our Unmasked.
Oh, boy, I can hardly wait.
All right.
I gotta go pee first.
Well, let's get started. Well, don't forget to stop all the stuff.
I won't.
And hopefully you'll remember to start it all.
Stop your slop and go piddle.
Hopefully no one's in there. Go ahead.
We'll talk to everybody next time.
Bye. Bye.